Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Byrd. Do you find yourself feeling scattered? Is it hard to focus on just one thing at a time? Are you stressed out? Well, this week we chat with Julie Pottinger, a lawyer and a lecturer and the author of Life Falls Apart, But You Don't Have To, Mindful Methods for Staying Calm in the Midst of Chaos.
It's taking in positive mental states and letting them land so that they become neural traits. So what wires together fires together.
We'll talk with Julie Pottinger about how to be less stressed and more grateful on this week's American Cafe. You might have heard the phrases mindfulness or being mindful of what you're doing. But what does that mean? How do we learn to be more mindful or present in our stressed-out, technology-dominated lives? For some insight, I spoke with author Julie Pottinger. She's a graduate of George Washington University Law School who came to learn about mindfulness through the stresses of her own life. Can you define what you mean by mindfulness when you use that term? What does that mean to you?
To me, it means paying attention to what I'm doing when I'm doing it. So not worrying and not ruminating.
I understand that you came to learn about mindfulness through being exactly the opposite of that, through a crisis point in your life when you had three children that were all teenagers and you began to mix your words up, things like that?
Yeah, I thought I had a brain tumor. And what the neurologist discovered was I just had too much going on in my brain, which is pretty common for most human beings. I mean, it's a very hectic, chaotic world that we live in. And if you add three teenagers, all with ADHD, to the mix, you could lose your mind a little bit.
And your book talks about literally rewiring your brain, reconnecting pathways in our brains to help us handle chaotic circumstances or be able to focus on what's going on right now without giving in to anxiety or depression. Dig a little deeper on that.
The rewiring thing is so easy, and it sounds crazy. Like, if people are listening and they're thinking, what is this lady talking about? It's taking in positive mental states and letting them land so that they become neural traits. So what wires together fires together. You could think of it that way. So that if you're having a particularly awesome moment, like watching a sunset or looking at your grandchildren or whatever it might be, and you allow yourself to feel swept up in the joy of the moment, just for a couple breaths, you're rewiring your brain for more happiness and resilience. And it's if you do that many times a day over the course of weeks and then months and then years like I have, you become a happier person because your brain is happier. It's not dwelling on ruminating and worrying as much as it used to.
This is the month in the United States where we celebrate the Thanksgiving holiday, which also happens to be the beginning of the very stressful Christmas shopping season. How can people cultivate a habit of gratitude? Oprah Winfrey very famously talked about her gratitude book that she wrote something down in that she was thankful for every day. Is that one method, writing something down? What else can people do?
Well, journaling is a great gratitude practice, and some people say write down five things you're grateful for each day. Some people say three things, whatever. What I personally do is I answer these two questions. What did I enjoy today? What am I grateful for today? And I try to keep that practice going, and it's better brain science to write it than it is to type it, but it's better to type it than to not do it at all. The other thing is just paying attention. That's the mindfulness piece, to when there's something positive happening and then being grateful for that. Just noticing, slowing down and noticing when things are good and what is good and saying, I'm grateful for that. And then if you can remember to write it down, you get two bangs for your buck.
You have also recommended doing away with our technology for specific periods, like turning your phone off or putting it in another room when you go to sleep. How has that affected our minds, and how do we break free from that?
Well, I think we do need a technology holiday. I really do. And there's been so many articles written on this that I'm sure you've seen about how addicting it is, checking to see how many likes you have because you get a dopamine bump. I mean, it's actually brain science, how we've become addicted to our iPhones, which are like carrying an entire computer in the palm of your hand. So I think it's important, and I'm guilty of this also, and have to re-remind myself not to check that thing all day long. Set aside a period of time when you're going to respond to emails, and set aside a period on the weekend if you can to not have your device with you. Just to know that from, you know, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., it's a technology-free time or whatever it is, whatever time you can make. And then notice if you feel differently after you do it.
The one excuse that I always tell myself and that I hear from a lot of people when we talk about being here now, being in the moment, is I'm too busy for that. I don't have time for that. I've got a meeting to go to. I've got to pick up my kids from daycare. The train is running late, and now I've got to call my wife and make sure that, you know, she's not keeping dinner for me, blah, 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 blah. What are some ways that people can, for lack of a better way of putting it, wedge mindfulness into their busy lives?
So that's a good question, and the wedge is correct. Like, teachers call it the wedge of mindfulness. So it's just being mindful, doing all the rushing around that you're doing. Because you could be doing that whole list that you just gave me, you could be doing every single one of those things mindfully. And what I mean by that is when you're doing them, as long as you're not thinking of the next item on your to-do list or the conversation that you just had at work that was so outrageous and made you unhappy or stressed out or whatever, as long as you're paying attention to what you're doing when you're doing it, those are mindfulness activities in daily life. You can do it when you're brushing your teeth. Close your eyes, feel the toothpaste and the toothbrush and taste it and hear the electric, if it's an electric toothbrush. You can do it when you're drinking your coffee in the morning or your tea, just the first sip or two, like feel the mug, smell it, look at it, taste it. All those things add up to time spent on the cushion doing an actual guided meditation in terms of your brain health.
Julie, is there anything I've left out you think my audience would benefit from hearing?
Slow down. That's what I say. That might be my new mantra, slow down.
That's author and lecturer Julie Potiker. If you want to learn more about her book or other aspects of mindful living, we'll have a link to her website on our Facebook page. That's VOA American Cafe. If you would like to hear previous episodes of our show, visit our website, voanews.com. For all the folks here at VOA, I'm David Byrd. Thanks for listening.